Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. By the way, be sure and drop us a note or, and this is new, send us a short audio clip telling us what's on your mind, what's going on for the summer, your favorite vacation story, that kind of thing. Just use a smartphone or a digital recorder and send the file, or just a note if you'd rather, to our email address at indianaweekend@gmail.com. You can find a lot of parks in Indiana, but not many like the place just outside Battleground, about 12 miles northeast of Lafayette. It's called Wolf Park. Yeah, 10 gray wolves and assorted other bison, foxes, and other critters, carefully separated, by the way. Dana Drenzik is the assistant manager.
You know, I'm a dog owner, or owned by my dog, I'm not sure which, but we, even though my dog probably is descended from wolves long, long ago, they're different, right? You can't just go and pet these guys, right?
It wouldn't be advisable.
Right, yeah. The wolf and the dog is very, very different. You know, what we've done is domesticate the dog, which takes many, many, many generations for selective breeding, and where socialization, which is what we've done with our wolves here, it happens within the individual's lifetime, but all we've done is we've taken their flight distance, their fear of humans, to absolute zero, so that when we go in there, they readily approach us, we can approach them, but the interactions that we have with our guys is also very different than you would a dog. And we are constantly looking at body language. We are looking for signals that they're giving us. We also have to create a lifelong relationship with these animals individually for every staff and every wolf, so that when we interact with them, we're doing things on their terms and on their guidelines.
And an example of that would be, for instance, you're going to go in and see if they're around and everything. You're holding a treat, but it's not like I would call my dog and he would run over. It's a little different?
Well, a little bit. You know, dogs really depend on their human counterparts to eat and to find shelter and to get, you know, the fun stuff like the petting and all of that. Our wolves have a mind of their own. They can do whatever they want, kind of like huskies. People that are husky owners know this very, very well. They're going to do what they want when they want to do it, and that's kind of our guy. On this level is that I can call them over and I can, you know, basically bait them with treats and hope that they'll come, but it's really up to them if they want to come over.
And normally they catch their own game and everything here? Is that where they get their food, or do you have to?
Well, actually, we feed our guys three times a week. We try to keep it as natural as possible. So white-tailed deer is a natural prey item for gray wolves. And so what we'll do is we'll go out and we'll pick up the roadkill deer off the side of the roads, or we'll get phone calls from the highway department or citizens, and we'll butcher it up and we'll toss it over and feed it to them. They get on average about 5 pounds to 7 pounds per feeding, so about 15 pounds to 20 pounds per week, which is actually more than enough for an adult wolf to have. We actually overfeed them on purpose just so that they can have, you know, opportunities to exhibit other behaviors with the leftovers. They can cache it, they can bury it, they can interact with each other with it. A lot of the times we'll find the yearlings playing with the hide that's left over, and so we feed everything, you know, the hide, the bones, the meat, all of it, the organ meat. And so on top of that, you know, there are things that get inside this enclosure. We never introduce anything alive in here, but rabbits, snakes, moles, voles, all of that are going to get inside. It is chain link. And if it gets in on its own, then it can get back out and it's fair game. During the springtime, a lot of the time, we have a lot of baby bunnies that are born in that enclosure, and it's a bad place to do that. But, you know, the wolves will find them and instinctively go after them, but that's their deal.
We're going to walk over here. Tell us what we're doing.
So right now we are going to try and get the yearlings to come up and approach the fence line. And so we're walking up to the main grandstand bleacher area. There's a safety fence that we have that's about 4 feet tall that actually provides a barrier between the main enclosure where the wolves are kept and the people and where they stand. A lot of the times these guys being socialized are very excited to see humans and very happy to have the staff members approach and come up. And occasionally we need to go through into the safety fence area to interact with them, train them, work with them, maybe even get them to howl.
How many wolves totally are there, if you yearlings and everybody?
We have a total of 10 gray wolves on the property.
Where do they come from? Are they all born here, or do they come from other places?
We actually, some of the wolves that we have here are born on site. They're actually born in our main enclosure. If we have a breeding female and she does end up becoming pregnant, she'll give birth on our island that's inside the main enclosure. Just to make sure that genetic variability is there within our packs, we make sure that if we have to, we'll get wolves from other facilities, zoos, reputable organizations, and we'll bring them in as puppies, hand raise them, and then they'll be introduced to our existing wolves.
Generically, you would be called a wolf park, or a, I guess so. Huh?
We're a wolf education facility is our main mission. Research is also in part of that as well as conservation.
Any idea about how many places like yours there are in the country?
There are quite a few wolf facilities around the U.S. However, we all do something a little bit different. As we are education and research, there are some that are just research or just education. And then, of course, there are the rescue areas as well and parks that will rescue wolves that have either been house pets or for various reasons, maybe injuries, things like that.
And Dana, we are standing outside the enclosure at Wolf Park, and that's a pretty serious looking fence there. Like that, they can't jump over that, right? You wouldn't want that to happen.
That's marine grade fencing that you're seeing in front of you with an overhang that extends out into the enclosure about a foot to 2 feet there, and that prevents them from actually climbing up over the fence line. We also have a skirting that you can't see that's underneath the fence that prevents them from digging out. But wolves can be pretty destructive and pretty strong-headed if they want something, so we have to make everything wolf-proof.
Right on the other side of the fence somewhere out here. There are three yearlings, which I take it means they're about a year old.
Yep, they were.
See how I picked up on that right away?
That was good. Yeah, math is good. we call them yearlings just because they're about a year and a half old. They were born in April, and April and May is a typical time for wolf pups to be born. And so they've already gone through their first birthday, and in April and May they'll be going on second.
And in your hand is a plastic sandwich bag with some wolf treats.
Correct, yeah.
Purina Wolf Chow or no?
Actually, it's called Pet Botanics. It's a mixture of different nutritional meat and some other nutritional things in there. It's actually a dog food that you get at any pet store. It comes in a 5-pound log, and we just chop it up and use it for treats.
Do you have other wolves who are not in that area? Or?
We do. We actually have the entire acreage of Wolf Park is 75 acres. 40 of that is reserved for our American Plains bison, in which we have 13 of. And then we have 5 foxes, 2 coyotes, and actually 10 wolves total, but they're not all in the same area. We have the main pack enclosure, and then we have a separate compound area that we call East Lake, in which has varying sized enclosures anywhere from a quarter to a half to an acre large that have housing anywhere from 1 wolf to 2 wolves to trios.
Listen to me, little Red Riding Hood. I don't think little big girl should go walking in these spooky old woods alone. Oh!
Dana Drenzik is the assistant manager at Wolf Park, a research and education center outside Lafayette. They conduct serious research there, but they also know we are curious. So there's a large grandstand overlooking part of the wolf enclosure. They also have, get this, Howl Nights on Fridays and Saturdays through November. A full schedule of those and other activities at, where else? Wolfpark.org.
Get to Grandma's place. I think you ought to walk with me and be safe.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think. Email indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
Of all the festivals, fairs, and special places across the state, it's hard to think of a place more unusual than Wolf Park. It's a research center, but also has a big grandstand overlooking a huge wooded enclosure, double fencing, the kind of security that makes you think of Jurassic Park without the escapes. They have Howl Nights on Fridays and Saturdays. That's a different experience. This is all outside Lafayette, by the way. Dana Drenzik is the assistant manager. In a bit, you will hear her get the wolves howling. But I was curious when she talked about the thousands of hours the staff spends acclimating the animals to human contact.
Do these yearlings have personalities? Do you notice differences between them?
The individual personalities of all of our animals, not just the wolves, but we see it with the bison and the foxes and the coyotes here, they are very, very distinctly different. You know, Conti right now is within this trio, is trying to pull his weight and be the dominant male within the three. And you can see with the other two, Fiona, which is the sister and only female, and then Bisho, they don't really take him very, very seriously. But, you know, they do have their own little personalities and how they interact with each other and then how they interact with us. You know, Fiona is just a very, very sweet female. She absolutely loves belly rubs. She loves to get petted. Bisho can be a little off-standish occasionally, but when he gets to know you, he's really, really nice. And Conti has an attitude, and he kind of has a very short fuse, as we call it. So he'll be happy, happy all of a sudden, and not so fine the next second, about 3 seconds past that. So we have to be a little more careful while we're working with him than we do maybe the other two.
Well, this brings up a point, Dana, because are you going to be okay when you walk in to... with your bag of treats? I guess if you could always throw the treats and run, right?
Well, we actually never go inside any of our closures by ourselves. We always have to have a backup member, and that's actually one of the safety protocols that we have here, is that a two staff member of kind of equal or good relationship with the wolves that they're going in with can enter an enclosure and bring people in. And that relationship takes quite a bit of time to gain. You know, with the new staff member that we have, Brian, who's our new animal curator, assistant animal curator, he is going to be taking several months to even a year to gain this relationship to be able to back up or to help work with these animals safely.
Do we know everything there is to know about wolves, or are we still learning about wolves and wolf behavior?
We're still learning quite a bit about wolves. There's so many things and so many facets that, you know, haven't really been touched on. Although the howling part is probably the most researched aspect of the wolf, and a lot has been done now with newer technologies that are able to kind of take those frequencies and take that actual voice of the wolf and be able to tease it out and figure out if there are consistencies.
What does the howling mean? It's not like a dog barking. There's something going on.
Right, yeah. There are a bunch of different howls that these guys can do, and they all mean something a little bit different. And one of the ways that we're able to kind of decide, you know, what they might be saying, of course, you know, we don't speak wolf, so we're not going to know everything, but we watch the behavior, we watch the interactions before, during, and after, and then we're able to kind of tease and figure out, okay, what is happening and why are they howling? You know, the howl that everybody knows and everybody, you know, kind of thinks of when they think of a wolf is probably a chorus or a territorial chorus howl. And that is something that wolves do quite often, especially when they're within a pack, as to say two things at the same time. What they're saying is that, hey, we're here, this is my pack, if you hear me and you understand me, then come to where I am, howl with me, defend our territory. And at the exact same time, it basically means if you don't know who I am and you don't recognize my voice, you're not a part of my pack, stay away, this is our territory, go away.
What's the experience that people have when they come to Wolf Park? For somebody who's never been here, what is it like?
It really depends on when you come out. We do different activities depending during the week versus the weekend. A lot of the time, you know, we'll have young and old be very, very excited to actually physically see the wolf. And that's the really nice thing about the socialization that we've been able to do, is that, you know, they'll come right up to the fence and they'll say, you know, hi, and they'll be sitting there and people watching, basically. We call it people TV. And they'll be just as engaged in watching us as we are of them. And for people that have never seen a wolf, or, you know, have always wanted to see a wolf, they get extremely excited and want to know as much as they can, which is, you know, one of the benefits and one of the reasons we're here. Depending on the program that they come out for, if they come out for a howl night and get to hear a howl, a lot of the time I hear a lot of gasps and a lot of, oh, listen to that, they're howling. And again, just that research of excitement of being able to actually hear them howl. And again, with these guys being socialized, they come right up front and they howl in front of the public. And so not only do they get to hear it, but then they get to see it happen as well.
What's something that kind of surprised you one time, maybe?
Probably one of the more interesting stories that I can remember is that we had an Omega wolf within this main enclosure. His name was Rudy, and we had the pack of seven, and he was the lowest ranking out of everybody in here. And he always played it fairly cool, fairly calm. And with Omegas, you have to make sure that you don't get them in trouble, because a lot of the time, any other wolf that's higher ranking than them can kind of say, okay, this is my resource, this is my person, this is my food. And so we never really kind of pushed, you know, having him be a star and interacting with him. We let him do what he wanted to. At one point, we had some leftover hamburgers from a seminar that we had here, and we thought, oh, it'd be nice to give the wolves a treat. And so a couple of hamburgers were thrown over, and we didn't have enough for the entire pack. However, at the time, the yearlings that you'll hear today were puppies. They were under a year of age, and they wanted all of the hamburgers. Well, Rudy was able to snag one. However, he wasn't able to keep it because one of the puppies came up and took it from him. So Rudy actually went over to the alpha male on purpose, got himself in trouble with the alpha male that alerted to the puppies. They got very excited. They went to that little scuffle to see what was going on, leaving their hamburgers behind. Rudy got out of that situation, was able to redirect the aggression onto one of the puppies, snuck over to and stole two hamburgers and ran off. So they are intelligent.
Dana Drenzik of Wolf Park near Lafayette. You can check out the schedule for their Howl Nights and other events at wolfpark.org. In a minute, Dana sticks our microphone in her pocket, goes through the airlock-style double gates, and cavorts with the wolves.
He's the hairy-handed gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Ah, ooh, werewolves of London. Ah,
ooh. So we were at Wolf Park near Lafayette, and I wanted you to get some of the experience of their Howl Night special events on Fridays and Saturdays. I was talking with Dana Drenzik, their assistant manager, and she offered to get the wolves howling for us, kind of a rehearsal for that night, I guess you'd say. She was also going to show us how they interact with the animals. This involved her and another woman going through two fences, one an outside safety fence, the other about 8 feet tall with a barbed wire section pointing inward at the top. Think super high security. They asked me to stay outside, and by the way, I wasn't going to argue about that. So I put a microphone on Dana so we could hear up close and personal what it's like inside. By the way, we have video of this on our Facebook page if you want to see what it looked like.
Hi, what are you doing? No, that's my mic. You can't have that. With the train passing by, it might be a good time to get them to howl, if that works
for you. Okay, sure. Sounds good.
Okay. First enter the enclosure, it's always very polite to be able to greet these guys first, just like when you go into someone else's home, you shake their hand, you say hi, you just don't barge in and put your feet up on the couch and start eating food out of their fridge. So we do the same thing because that's a natural behavior that these guys have. What ends up happening is as they come together and they greet each other, they'll greet face to face. And they'll check each other out, smell any different smells that might be on them or around them. They like to do the same thing to us when we come in. So when we first enter, we'll take the moment in time to greet and say hello and greet face to face. For us, sometimes we have to kneel or post them up on logs in order to do that because we don't allow them to jump. But, you know, and that way they can say hi and smell the news fit for the day. So. But yeah, a lot of the times they can be affectionate with those that they know and they trust. Again, that's kind of where that relationship plays into each one of these individuals. And they're always excited and happy to see us, most of the time. And they'll come up and we can pet them and they'll give us face kisses and say hi.
Is there something you can point to and say, now this is different, this is why this critter is different from
a dog? Kind of the howl and the vocalizations that these guys make are a bit different. They do have a bark, however, obviously as you saw us come in here and come in their enclosure, they didn't bark like a lot of times you come into a house and they bark.
These guys do have what's called a bark howl. However, it's used very, very differently. It's used as an alarm call to let somebody know, or pack members within the pack to know, okay, something's up, something's different, something's wrong. And they'll communicate that. It's not a common language, it's not a common vocalization that they use very often. The other thing too is that although it doesn't really seem like we're doing anything different than your typical dog at home, we're not roughhousing with these guys, we're not running, we're not object playing with them, mainly due to the fact that the main difference is kind of that amplitude of attitude and emotional level. You know, when these guys get aroused, when they get excited, they can go from happy to even more excited, but they can also very quickly go from happy to fearful or happy to aggressive. We never know which direction that's going to go in. So everything that we do with them is very low key, very easygoing, and they'll amp up on their own for various reasons, whether or not it's cooler weather or it's nighttime or something like that. But we will interact with them still in the same way, confident, not submissive or not overconfident, but just a normal, hi, how are you, without that exuberance that a lot of times we'll do with our dogs, or we'll, you know, throw a toy, or we'll run around with them and stuff like that. Apparently Fiona's it. The two brothers like to occasionally gang up on their sister. It's typically more of a play relationship than aggressive, but they'll mouth her, as Bisho's doing now, around Fiona's neck, and she fights back.
You said something about object play. Do you mean by that you don't play fetch with them, you don't throw the ball?
Right, yeah. You're not like you would throw a toy or something. A lot of the times for a dog, they'll grab it and they'll come back to you and drop it, or you can grab it out of their mouth and take it. 99% of the time, whatever is in their mouth is theirs, and that's it. And that can go for each other, that can go for us. So if we took, say, a ball, we can give it to them, but we're not getting it back.
In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Smell like a sound, I'm lost in a crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolves. Straddle the line, discord and rhyme, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Mouth is alive, juices like wine, and I'm hungry.
Dana Drenzik, assistant manager at Wolf Park near Lafayette, a place where researchers study wolf behavior, and the wolves, in their own way, kind of study the humans. Which is true, people come for Howl Night on Fridays and Saturdays to see the wolves, listen to their eerie howling, but the wolves come up to the fence because they are curious too. They're watching us watch them. Glad you were curious enough to spend some time with us today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time, and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you're into wolf watching or are looking for a place to howl. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.